The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Monday, October 9th, 2006. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, the Food Safety Inspection Service is looking at new guidelines for meat products, which might have a higher risk for foodborne illnesses. Also, there's further reductions in crop estimates for Australian wheat, and USDA's chief economist says the energy efficiency of ethanol production has continued to improve. I'll have these and other stories this half hour, and we'll get the latest on harvest weather from the folks at Chesapeake Energy. It's all on the Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Monday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. December wheat, 531 and three quarters, limit up 30. March, 544 up 30. At the Board of Trade, December wheat, 494 up 30. March, 507 and a half up 30. May, 504 and a half up 30. December corn, 289.5 up 18.5. March, 302.5 up 18.5. May, 308.75 up 18.25. Red line December, 321 up 15.5. November soybeans, 574.5 up 10.5. January, 589.25 up 11.5. March, 599 up 10.75. Red line November, 631.5 up 11. October soybean meal, 168.70 up 270. October soybean oil, 24.70 up 70. At the Merck, October feeders, 110.75. down 227.5. October live cattle, 89.20, down 167.5. October lean hogs, 64.35, down 22.5.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
What lit the fuse in the wheat market today?
Well, there's several factors, but the one that got the main headlines was the Australian Grains Council coming in and putting the Australian wheat crop at 10 million metric tons. Australian Wheat Board came in just not too long ago, said it was about 12 to 15 million metric tons. A year ago, they raised 25 million metric tons, and so the forecast has not improved for the majority of Australia. So Australia has been a pretty well of a provider of the world wheat. Especially Iraq and them been real good buddies here. And they've been buying a lot of wheat from Australia. So with them in trouble, Argentina dry, Brazil dry, and Europe somewhat in a tight situation, it's put the focus or shifted the emphasis that North America will have to maybe pick up the slack here and provide or be in a position to be able to sell an additional 10 to 15 million metric tons of wheat to keep the world in supply of wheat here. So there's a lot of bullish enthusiasm taking place on that news. Then plus two, there's been some traders short wheat that have gotten into some serious trouble and they've had to liquidate. We've run into a money situation where we're going through some shorts having to get out in order to meet margin calls. And so it sort of created a vacuum in here. And wheat closed up the 30-cent trading limit. When you look at the synthetic trade, we're expected to open up another 30 cents tonight. The synthetic trade projects December wheat open around 525. So basically this market's in sort of a runaway phase here.
And after that, after 525, if you look at the weekly or monthly charts for the December contract, there's nothing between that and that 725 high wheat.
Yeah, you're correct. The highest we've been is back in the mid-90s here, over 10 years ago, when we had an explosion in the wheat market. And we're in sort of a runaway phase here where we're going to find out how high is now.
And what does that imply for those producers putting in their wheat crop? Should they be getting some hedges on? What should they be doing?
Well, that's where it becomes a little tricky. If you do a hedge, you got to be able to margin the thing. There's some ideas wheat could go to $6 in the old crop here, and that's about another $1.10 higher from here. So you're going to have $5,000 per 5,000 bushels to margin that. The other thing is frustrating when you look at going ahead and cash forward some wheat. It's a situation where the basis is widened out. Before this morning's trade, producers were looking at 90-cent basis, so that's a tough situation. Then lastly, too, we're looking at a bull spread situation where it's the old crop that's carrying the premium. The decent March is up 30 cents, but new crop July 07 is only up 10 cents. So, that there's that anxiety that they need the old crop wheat. That's where the tightness is. When we look at July new crop wheat, with this rally in here, we're going to have a lot of wheat acres around. A lot of wheat's going in. A lot of guys, it may be raised in 80 or 120. A lot of those guys are looking at double, if not triple it. Even out west, we're seeing a situation where on irrigation, guys have leaned heavier towards wheat due to the uncertainty about corn prices and the input costs for corn. So we're gathering some additional wheat acres, and that's what's going to keep the back end down, let the front end run.
And I suppose this spilled over into the corn pit today, although last week we had some indications that corn was trying to decouple itself a little bit from wheat. Not the case today. Many corn contracts limit up until just before the closing bell.
Yeah, we saw some spillover support come into the corn early, but as the day wore on, corn would not pull back. There's that anxiety to get some coverage in place. The technical momentum's there. Cyclical-wise, when you look at the time counts, the corn and bean market should remain firm into October 20th. There is some ideas the front end D's could run to 320, 325 here before we find significant selling interest.
Does the synthetic bid tomorrow, if wheat goes limit up, equal another 20 cents for corn?
Well, I would say that it won't be that rich. If we would happen to lock limit up right of the way there and stay there for an hour or two, it would slowly pull the corn with it. We're going to see some hedge pressure start to come in the marketplace. Got to remember, we've got over 2 billion bushels of old crop finding a home. We got about 11 billion bushels or more of old new crop coming in. So we're talking about 13 billion bushels of corn for sale. And with this run-up in here, I think that producers would want to take advantage of it. Corn closed into new highs, so if you missed the rally last summer, we're in a position here where it's awful tempting to play catch-up. And so I would think that good old-fashioned hedge pressure would come in somewhat here and start to limit the corn from here on out.
We had the trade guesses for Thursday's USDA crop production report released around 11:30 this morning. What do you make of those?
Well, that's pretty well what the trade's been looking for. I mean, a little over 11 billion bushel corn crop, a little over 3.2 billion bushel bean crop. It's big numbers. We're looking at record production here in the beans. We're looking at record supplies. But we got record, demand, and we got record open interest. We got record amount of money coming into the commodity complex. So it goes back to the idea we're at a 70s type atmosphere. We're going to run straight up. We can run straight back down. So it's going to create a lot of opportunity for both the bull and the bear. Probably the main focus will be the beam. See if it's bigger than 588 million bushel carryout. If it's bigger than that, then we're probably going to see the bean struggle a little bit compared to the corn and wheat.
One little stat I dug up recently was that in the October report, when the trade makes its guess, USDA has exceeded that guess the last 7 years. Corn at 11.144. I guess we'll see whether or not the trade has underestimated the size of the corn crop again. Let's look at the soybeans, where in all the heat of the hot wheat market and the corn market, it's putting in a pretty decent technical performance.
Yeah, if you look at a bean chart, you can go to Batescom.net, one of our websites there, and pull up a bean chart. You'll notice that we got a nice rounded bottom here. We had a little turn up in the momentum indicators. We're moving above the moving averages, and you put those on a bean chart there if you want to look at them. And we're starting to turn things up. Typically, you bottom the bean market here middle of October. That came a month early. There's ideas that wheat stays hot, you're going to buy a lot of wheat acres, and that's going to fight with corn. Well, once all said and done, you're going to rob a few bean acres. And so down the road, there's some reason to be bullish beans. And with the lows recorded typically in the fall here, I think we're seeing some pricing come forward. That was confirmed last week with when you look at the weekly export sales report, China's been a huge buyer. We'll get some more totals here this week. They've got up to 155 million bushels of beans this marketing year versus about 63 million bushels a year ago. So when the world players look at our bean market, and the potential of these other markets going higher, they're probably willing buyers on dips now.
Thanks much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. They'll have their take on agricultural weather. AM 580's Mike Solis forecasts for Illinois and Indiana tonight. Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance for a few scattered showers or drizzle. And northern and western Illinois lows from 42 to 55 degrees. Then tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and perhaps a few thunderstorms increasing from west to east during the afternoon. Highs ranging from 58 degrees in northern Illinois to 78 degrees in southern Illinois. In agricultural news, USDA this week is holding a two-day meeting on risk-based inspections of meat and poultry to discuss new guidelines. Under the plan, the Food Safety Inspection Service would concentrate more of their efforts on meat products known to have a higher risk for foodborne illnesses, as well as target meat and poultry processing plants with the worst track records. FSIS officials say the plan focuses more on food processing and would not change inspection procedures at slaughtering operations. In other FSIS news, the agency may install satellite dishes on federally inspected meat and poultry establishments to improve the efficiency of inspections. USDA's chief economist Keith Collins says the energy efficiency of ethanol has improved over the past 5 years.
We concluded that ethanol had about 25% more energy in it. The BTU content of ethanol was 25% greater than all the BTUs it took to produce it. Then last year we updated that study, and we got, I believe it was about 65% more energy in ethanol than it takes to produce it. So it's substantially above break-even.
Collins says that's caused by a couple of things. For one thing, he says farmers are learning to get more production with fewer inputs. Collins says the technology used to make ethanol is also improving production efficiency. But even with these improvements and increased global demand, Collins says he is not ready to suggest ethanol is ready to immediately transform the rural and farm economy.
But it really will depend on what happens with the price of oil and the price of gasoline. You know, we had futures prices for ethanol this summer in Chicago over $3 a gallon. I don't know if anybody's looked at the futures prices anymore. The December contract is down to $1.98. We've had a very sharp decline in ethanol prices. I think we can look forward with great optimism about how biofuels could really transform agriculture, but it won't happen if ethanol prices and oil prices come collapsing down again.
Meanwhile, members of the American Agriculture Movement were in Washington, D.C. last week to rally in support of renewable energy sources. AAM President Larry Matlack says the message is that biomass has the potential to replace foreign oil.
On one of our moving billboards here, it says that we have a $60 barrel of oil that's 5.8 million BTUs from the Mideast, and we have a $20 bale of straw that's 5.8 million BTUs from the Midwest. And we can choose what we're going to do, and we're trying to raise public awareness so that we can make that choice.
Matlack says American farmers need to produce energy not just from corn and soybeans, but from other dedicated energy crops. Grain Council of Australia today says Australian wheat production could fall to less than 10 million metric tons from last year's 25 million metric ton crop. Grain Council's production estimate is the lowest issued thus far. U.S. Grains Council Senior Director in Beijing, China, Todd Meyer, says China's corn crop will likely drop to 5.48 billion bushels this year. He says drought and insect damage in two corn-producing regions is the reason for the 39.4 to 78.8 million bushel decline. Meyer says the PRC will be a net importer of corn in the future.
Even with a robust yield growth, it will be very, very difficult to keep up with reductions in planting area, which are going along with development and other crops, the spread of other high-income crops, and also the increase in demand. And our assessment is 4 to 5% per year, and yield increases will never reach that level on an annualized basis.
But Meyer says whether China becomes a big importer of U.S. corn will depend on prices.
The question in my mind is, when are prices going to reach a sustained level where it would make imports work on a regular basis? We do have a VAT, a value-added tax, that is a barrier. A 13% tax is applied upon entry, so it's a significant price barrier.
Without that barrier, Meyer says the U.S. would have already been supplying more corn to China. USDA has tweaked its beef export requirements to Taiwan. At the request of the Taiwanese government, the U.S. will not allow exports of beef coming from cattle imported from Canada unless such beef is produced under an approved Agricultural Marketing Service Export Verification Program. Meanwhile, Canadian cattle producers still cannot ship cattle to the U.S. over 30 months of age. Rick McRonald is director of the Canadian Livestock Genetics Association. McRonald says USDA is taking too long to fully reopen the border to Canadian beef.
It's very, very frustrating for anybody on either side of the border who wants to get this done. In Canada, we already implemented an OIE-based import requirement for BSE, which finished the job, and so now cattle born after the implementation of the feed ban can enter Canada from the United States.
The delay is a result of a Canadian case of BSE in an animal after establishment of the nation's feed ban. RCAF USA officials say a pending free trade deal between the U.S. and Colombia will do little to promote U.S. beef exports while subjecting U.S. producers to potential new beef imports. RCAF International Trade Committee co-chair Doug Zaleski testified last week before the International Trade Commission.
We feel very strongly that the U.S. cattle producer is not protected in these trade pacts. There's no safeguards that extend very long into the future. to make sure that the beef market in this country is not overwhelmed and flooded with product from foreign countries, which subsequently then depresses the prices that our cattle producers receive.
Quotas on fresh, chilled, and frozen beef from Colombia would expire 10 years after the agreement is finalized. The U.S. and Colombia could sign the deal as early as late November, with a congressional vote likely in the first half of 2007. Canadian exporters are unhappy with new U.S. regulations set to begin on November 24th. The regulations are part of an interim rule issued by USDA. It removes exemptions from inspections for imported fruits and vegetables grown in Canada and from user fees for commercial vehicles entering the U.S. from Canada. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
CIF basis bids at lunchtime were +2 in corn, +5 for soft red winter wheat, -2 on the beans. What do you think about those bids in terms of what we saw today at the futures?
It certainly reflects what we're seeing here locally. Even with the big rally in corn, farmers are very tight holders and were rewarded for doing nothing, and I guess they'll hold on again one more day and see if we can get another rally tomorrow. So basis levels are still firm on corn, reflecting very little farmer movement. We are seeing a little bit of movement on beans, though, as farmers are taking advantage of this. So the 2 cent drop in bean basis makes a little bit of sense as well.
Farmers putting their recently harvested crops into storage as opposed to moving it across the scale, I suppose.
Yes. Remember, after the last 3 or 4 years of low prices, $1.75 corn and LDPs in the fall, farmers did a much better job of selling ahead, building more storage, and they've all read the same stories, heard the same thing about how ethanol demand is going to ramp corn up to $3 next year. So they're perfectly content to fill their contracts and hold on to the balance of it until next spring and see what happens, and so far they've been rewarded by doing nothing, by not selling corn ahead and doing nothing with that unsold balance.
What do you think the basis prices are going to do over the next week or so?
Bean basis should start to weaken a little bit more. I think the fundamentals are such that farmers will reward this rally and sell beans. The corn, it's anybody's guess, although we are finally starting to see some technical indicators showing this market may be a little bit overbought. Also, the funds are now long over $1 billion with a B. And the bottom line is, if you take 180 bushel corn and take it times a cash price of $275, that's $500 an acre. So it's getting to the point here where we may not need to try to predict how high this market can go. It's just whether we want to take some money off the table and take some profits and lock in some $500 an acre revenue.
And maybe even go ahead then and buy it back on the board later.
Well, you know, a lot of people are talking about that, but you know, when everybody gets on the same side of the boat, it usually tips over. I think, obviously, in hindsight, not selling anything ahead was the thing to do, you know, but those were still good levels. Year in and year out, selling ahead is the thing to do, and I still think the thing to do is to sell into this rally. You know, as it goes higher, we may want to spread them out a little bit and not sell as much, but as far as buying back stuff at these kind of levels, I guess I'm not a real big advocate of that.
Your prices today?
Cash corn finishes at 274, January 290, next fall 301 right out of the field. Beans are 559 for cash, 575 Jan, 611 out of the field next fall. Wheat is 439 this year and 449 next July.
Thank you much, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. I'll be back in 2 minutes with agricultural weather. AM 580 News is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson says there have been cases when the Bush administration went too far in the authority it claims for deciding how to treat detainees at Guantanamo. The Urbana Republican says he supports a compromise reached recently with some holdout Republican senators on interpreting rules for treating those detainees. But Johnson says Congress needs to be ready to head off any potential abuse by the executive branch by being more specific on what conduct is allowable. Johnson spoke this morning on WILL's Focus 580 program. Republican gubernatorial challenger Judy Bartapinka says she would agree to accept one of the proposed debates offered up by Governor Rod Blagojevich if he would agree to one of hers. But the governor responded, criticizing Topinka for failing to accept his proposal for a debate schedule. The candidates spoke by news release this morning. Later today, they continued to argue over the issue at the Chicago Columbus Day parade. Blagojevich said he's astounded his opponent is refusing to debate. Topinka accused the governor of trying to run from her by avoiding debates as time runs out before Election Day. Indiana state officials will speed up the processing of protective orders, so they'll get to police soon after they are issued by the courts. Indiana Chief Justice Randall Shepard says the process currently can take several days. Orders will be faxed to local law enforcement officials and the FBI. The Indiana State Fire Marshal says a fire that destroyed the Williamsport Public Library yesterday was deliberately set. Fire investigators are on the scene in the Warren County town, examining what's left of the building. The 6,000-square-foot Williamsport Public Library opened in 2002. Authorities in Mattoon are investigating the deaths of a husband and wife whose bodies were found in their apartment last night. Police aren't saying exactly how Morris and Roberta Thompson died, but they say it appears to have been a murder-suicide. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
We were hopeful to have the folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago on the line today, but I think they probably took the day off for Columbus Day. But we do have Mike Sulla's two-state forecast this afternoon. He says intervals of clouds and sun, with highs ranging from 64 degrees in northwestern Illinois to near 80 degrees in southeastern Indiana. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with a chance for a few scattered showers or drizzle in northern and western Illinois, lows ranging from 42 degrees in northern Illinois to 55 degrees in far southern Indiana. Then tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and perhaps a few thunderstorms increasing from west to east during the afternoon, and highs ranging from 58 degrees in northern Illinois to 78 degrees in southern Illinois. The extended outlook, Wednesday, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, mainly in northern and central sections. Thursday, mostly cloudy with areas of drizzle or flurries in the north and in central Illinois. Light rain in central Indiana. Friday, partly to mostly cloudy in northern Indiana. Areas of snow showers and flurries during the morning. Highs Wednesday in the 50s in the north and 60s elsewhere. Highs Thursday ranging from the lower 40s in northwestern Illinois to the mid-50s in the far south. Highs on Friday, mostly in the 50s with some upper 40s in northern and eastern Indiana. Lows Wednesday ranging from the mid-40s in the north to the mid-50s in the far south. Lows Thursday from the upper 20s in far northwestern Illinois to the mid-40s in the far south. And then lows on Friday, mostly in the 30s, with a few upper 20s in northwestern Illinois. And that's today's closing market report. Remember, you can hear today's futures analysis and cash grain report on the web. Go to WILL.org. This is Dave Dickey.